Hey, it's Dr. Dave, and I'm here today to answer some of your fantastic questions.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave. Welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is episode 95. It's the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and a lot more. As you can see, I'm back in Victoria Moran's apartment in New York City, 116th Street. Oh, I just gave away where you live. Sorry. It's a big street, though. Don't worry. You will not have stalkers. But Victoria, I appreciate you letting me come back after a week. And we got some great questions. I put this out on Facebook, and I've got so many great ones. But before we get into it, in case you missed last week's episode, episode 94, we were right here speaking about Victoria's latest book, The Good Karma Diet. It's a fantastic book. I'm going to urge you to go out and pick up a copy. We talked all about karma last week and a lot more things. So I urge you to go back and listen to that episode. And before we get started with some questions, I just want to show you, Victoria has been very busy the last several years. Her books include Younger by the Day, which, by the way, I'm going to steal all these, Victoria. Main Street Vegan. This is the one that actually got us. Sandy, the yoga instructor, put this on my table in our house, got us into this. The Love Power Diet, and a lot more. You've got how many more books did you say?
I have 12 total.
So 12 total books. So if you don't know about this young lady, check her out. She's the real thing, and I'm saying this. It's honestly an honor to be here in her apartment, 116th Street, looking out, beautiful Manhattan. This is incredible. I'm going to stay here as long as possible. We'll do episode 95. We'll do 96. We'll do 97. We'll go all the way up to 100 maybe. But for right now, we're doing 95. Welcome back, Victoria.
Thanks.
It's great. Where's Forbes, by the way? Forbes is her dog that I think might have just been in the picture. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but Forbes,
he's sitting in the windowsill. When he does that, I say he's being his cat self.
He may come back. We'll allow him to come back on the set if needed. But let's get into some questions. By the way, I thank you, for writing these questions on Facebook or wherever you may have private messaged me. But feel free to do this in the future as well. I try to answer every single question. Sometimes we'll have a show dedicated solely to your questions. So I don't think I could have anybody better qualified to help me answer these than Victoria. So Victoria, let's get into these. We'll try to get to all of them. I know we've got a limited amount of time. So Jennifer in Minneapolis writes this question. What supplements do I need to take as a vegan? What do you think?
Well, one for sure, and that's vitamin B12. And interestingly enough, now, according to the Academy of Medicine, anybody who's over 50 needs to take vitamin B12, regardless of what they're eating, because it's very hard to get from food. B12 grows on bacteria, and plants are just cleaner than animal foods, and so that's why they don't have B12. Now, some people say, well, then that means it's not natural to be vegan. But my wonderful dietitian friend, Jenny Messina, she's a co-author of Vegan for Her and Vegan for Life, says if it's not natural to be vegan because you need B12, then it's not natural to be over 50 because you need B12. So that one's really important. Then most humans, apparently these days, need vitamin D. You can get your level tested by your doctor and you can find out exactly, but it seems to be the indication these days that 1,000 international units a day, particularly if you live in the north or if you have dark skin so you can't absorb a lot, or you have light skin and you protect yourself from the sun, as I do, you probably need vitamin D. Some vegans want to take an algae-based omega-3, that would be DHA, EPA supplement, and some omnivores want to take fish oil. It does the same thing. So those are the biggies. Some of the dietitians are suggesting zinc maybe 2 or 3 times a week. Zinc is really hard to get in any diet unless somebody is eating oysters, and most people aren't doing that. So a little bit of zinc, especially if you see that you tend to catch colds a lot in the winter. Now, calcium, you're fine as long as you're either drinking the fortified milk. So any of the almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, whatever, they have as much milk as calcium or 50% more. So you should be okay with those and dark leafy greens. But if you want to get your calcium from the leafy greens, you really need to be eating a lot of leafy greens, something like 4 cups a day. I mean, a serious whopper-sized salad, or maybe drinking green juices, because then, of course, you get more greens in a smaller space.
Do you take a multivitamin at all?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. And the studies indicate that people who take a multivitamin die sooner than people who don't.
I better stop.
Well, the conjecture is a couple of things. For men, it appears to be iron. And iron has been indicted in both prostate cancer and heart situations. So that's why the men's formulas and the over 50 formulas don't have iron. The other thing that they're thinking is folic acid. Now, we need folate a lot. But folic acid is the synthetic form of folate that's used in vitamins. And so folic acid appears to play a role in some cases in breast cancer. Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who wrote Eat to Live and has done PBS specials, has talked a lot about the difference between folate, which we get from leafy greens, and this artificial folic acid, and that even pregnant moms, in his opinion, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not telling anybody what to do when you're pregnant, but the indication is always if you even think you're wanting to get pregnant, you should start taking folic acid, because without enough folate, your baby could be born with a serious birth defect. The spine wouldn't form properly. So folic acid is always prescribed for pregnant moms or women who want to get pregnant. Dr. Fuhrman is adamant that you need to be just beefing up on the folate as opposed to folic acid. So you can do the research, you know, do what your doctor tells you, but you're also the ultimate authority on your own body. So find out what's out there and be smart about it.
Well, I'm definitely taking the three big ones that you recommended, that you just mentioned, but I'm taking a vegan multi, so I'm wondering whether I should look into stopping that, because maybe it's just not necessary.
Well, certainly if you talk to someone like Dr. T. Colin Campbell, he would tell you that beyond B12, nothing is necessary. And there are a lot of the physicians who believe that if you really are eating a whole foods, plant-sourced diet, everything is there. And it's a funny thing. I believe everything is there, probably, if you're making really good choices and maybe you're getting some organic produce and eating everything fresh. But there are some problems that people run into regardless of what diet they're on. I know a lot of your listeners are in the over 40, over 50 age range. So, for example, a lot of people find that around that time, their hair starts to thin and their nails get brittle and start to break. No, you're fine. But there is a B vitamin called biotin that has been shown in laboratory research studies to strengthen nails for certain and probably do the same for hair. So one could consider taking that if that was a problem that you were experiencing. It doesn't mean you're deficient in it. You've got enough for your life. But if you want to use it for that little extra oomph factor, it might be better than going all the way into the pharmaceutical world. And certainly if you're an ethical vegan, you want to avoid pharmaceuticals whenever you can because of the animal testing and some of the other problems there.
Great stuff. Good answer to those. Let's keep moving because we got a bunch, and that was beautiful. Tom in Jacksonville, Florida says...
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. How's it going? he asks, isn't it just normal... And I mean, Tom just actually asked me this just the other day, isn't it just normal to be on medication such as blood pressure medication or cholesterol medication after the age of 60?
Well, that is a perfect question because I was riding the train back from Vegetarian Summerfest in Johnstown, Pennsylvania last week with a lovely woman named Roseanne, who comes from New Jersey. She is the tea lady. She got really famous back in the 80s as a teacher for collecting 1 million tea tags to teach her kids what a million looked like. But anyway, Roseanne is a woman of a certain age who has nothing wrong with her. She's on no medication because nothing is out of whack. So she went to a dermatologist for a small thing. The dermatologist had read her application, her chart, you know, that you fill out when you come in to see a doctor, hadn't even seen the patient and said, a woman of your age ought to be on medication. And Roseanne said, for what? So, you know, you're talking here about high blood pressure and high cholesterol and things like that.
Right.
And if people have those conditions, whatever age they are, they either need to be on medication or dealing with it in some other way under the care of a health professional, perhaps one that can come up with something other than medication. I mean, obviously these things need to be addressed, but just because you're over 60 doesn't mean you have those things, because we're over 60 and we don't have those things.
I'm on no medication. I'm assuming, since you just said the same thing, I'm assuming you're on no medication also.
I'm on no pharmaceuticals at all.
It really, when I saw this question come through, Victoria, it really bothered me, because I think I did some research actually a few months ago. I think if I'm right, what I remember reading was that the average person over, I think it might have even been over 40, but let's even say 60. The average American over 60 is on at least 4 different types of medication, which really bothered me, because I know, and you know, that if we just eat right, all plant-based diet, 100% plant-based diet, take the processed foods out, limit your salt, oil, sugar, then a lot of these things take care of themselves. The food, the nutrition will take care of these instead of the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, a lot of them will. And then if something doesn't, there are other things between here and pharmaceutical land. And this would be acupuncture, herbs. You know, there's a whole world out there before we run to the drug companies, in my opinion.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Mercedes in, listen to this one, Mercedes in Lima, Peru.
Oh,
hi, Mercedes.
Wow.
I'm so glad you're a listener. I really appreciate that. She asks a great question. I have trouble sleeping. Oh. Even if she had a hard day, she's tried everything, but it seems like she just can't get to sleep, or she doesn't sleep well. I promised her we would try to address that on the show and help her.
Well, I'm certainly no expert in that area, but as I mentioned last week, I love Ayurvedic medicine, and I read and study a lot about Ayurveda. And they say that sleep disturbance is a vata disturbance. And I know we don't have a lot of time, and I won't go into a huge amount of detail, but the idea is that there are 3 basic body types, and most people have kind of a predominance of 2. And one of these types, vata, tends to be flighty and a little bit like very happy and vivacious and enthusiastic, but also when out of balance, very hard to be grounded, very hard to sleep, very hard to stay steady. And it's very easy for this kind of person to have sleep disturbances if the temperature is not right, if it's too cold, if you're under a wind, if your husband likes a fan or air conditioning and you don't, if you've been traveling a lot. All these things are upsetting to that part of the constitution that needs to be grounded and needs to be calmer. So you might want to look for an Ayurvedic doctor. I'm sure there are some there in Lima. There's also a book that I've probably read 20 times, and there are very few books that I read that often, but it's actually Deepak Chopra's, I believe, first book. It's called Perfect Health, and it's an elementary introduction to Ayurveda, but not so elementary that you can't read it 20 times and still get something out of it. And one other thing I'll say, you want to do a sleep assessment of your bedroom. So do you have the kinds of shades that really get rid of all the light? If not, you need to wear a little sleep mask. You need to have quiet in that room. You don't want to watch TV and then go straight to bed, because whether you've been watching the news or a violent kind of TV show or something suspenseful, you're going to be going at full tilt mentally, and then it's going to be very difficult to go to sleep and really have a restful night. So you want to turn the TV off 1 hour before going to bed. And my final suggestion comes straight from Ayurveda, and that is that there are rhythms of nature. So if you can get to bed early, by about 10 o'clock at night, without a full stomach, So this means that you've finished your last meal of the day, which should be a fairly light meal. If you can have a heavier lunch and a lighter dinner and finish that dinner 2.5 to 3 hours before bedtime, which I know is not the Latin culture. I know that it's customary in a lot of Latin countries to eat really late. But if you could get into the habit of eating a little bit earlier and going to bed after your food's already digested, so that digestive process isn't in conflict with your body trying to sleep, and then you'll get up early in the morning around 6:30, and that means that these energies of nature are the wake-up energies, and they're going to help you get started early in the morning and feel better all day.
Did I hear you say that going to bed at 10 o'clock p.m. is early? Did I hear that right?
For a lot of people.
Well, it's funny. These days, 10 o'clock is considered late for me. I try to be in bed by probably somewhere between 9:30. I think I'm more of a morning person. But Victoria, what do you think also about something as simple as... I love what you said about having dinner at least two to two and a half hours before. But what about chamomile tea right before you go to bed? Does that help?
Well, it's supposed to. I mean, chamomile tea, calcium. I mean, we've always said warm milk, but soy milk or almond milk, anything with the calcium in it would work the same way.
Because Mercedes was asking kind of the wrong part. Because I am one that I think when my head hits the pillow, I'm just out. I sleep so easily. But I will tell you this, Mercedes. If there's anything going on in your life, if there's stress at work or something like that. I know I went through a period just maybe a month or so ago, Victoria, that I was having trying to work something out in my life, and it was very, very stressful for me. Hi, Forbes. How you doing? Forbes, you want to say hi to everybody? There you go.
That's my stress manager.
So I was actually going through something a month or so ago that was very stressful for me. And I actually found myself not being able to sleep as well and also waking up in the middle of the night, which never happens to me. So I think, Mercedes, if there's something that's going on in your life, something with your work, a relationship, something like that, I think also see if that's in check as well. I think that can be a big factor.
Good luck.
Okay, Laurie is from the UK. Now, I happen to know Laurie personally, and she's living in the UK now because she married a guy from the UK, but Laurie is from New York, State, though. Not the city, but New York State, and she's a great person. Her question is, have you come across any medical reason, and I know you're not a doctor, we're not going to hold you to anything, but any medical reason that would make it necessary for someone to actually eat meat?
I have never read or heard about such a thing.
That was quick. Neither have I. I'm going to say never. I don't know of any kind of condition, any kind of medical condition that you'd have and somebody that would say, oh, in order to cure that, you need to eat a piece of bacon. I don't think there's anything out there.
I mean, in the old days, they would say things like liver for iron deficiency anemia. But we know now that you can get iron from plant foods, and also if you need to supplement, you can supplement. That young women, for example, about the same number who are vegan and who are omnivore tend to iron deficiency anemia. It just seems to be something that some bodies are more prone to get, but you don't need liver. You know, there's really, especially nowadays, there's just nothing that you have to have meat for, at least in any experience I have ever had.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Not even chicken noodle soup for a cold. Do not do it. Don't do it. I'm pretty sure Laurie is vegan or extremely close to being 100% vegan. But it's a great question, and I don't see any reason medically that you'd ever have to have meat.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And Laurie, I don't know where you are in the UK, but I'm going to be at the Veg Fest in October in London.
I believe she's in, I want to say Ireland or Scotland, but I don't think she's in England. Well, I get confused between Ireland and Scotland.
But the land masses aren't that huge.
Yeah, when are you going to be there, Victoria? When?
Yeah, October. I think it's the weekend of the 16th or something like that. It's in the middle of the month. VegFestUK.something. VegFestUK. Google that.
She's good with Googling. Laurie, go see Victoria. Go introduce yourself. Shake her hand. Get one of her books, meet her in person. Seriously, you should do it. If I were there, I would do it. So go do it, Laurie. Don't forget, if a Lori comes up to you, Victoria, remember who it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mitchell from Vancouver, Washington. We're moving really around the planet here. From Vancouver, Washington, ask the question, what are your thoughts on GMOs and how can we avoid them?
Well, my thought is, I don't know. My feeling is they're incredibly creepy. I mean, what I have read is that we absolutely want to avoid them. I mean, I think the classic book on GMO, Seeds of Deceptions, it really tells the story. And I think some of the doctors will say, well, have you ever known anybody to die from GMOs? Well, no, personally, I have not. But the people who work in fields where these crops are grown, there are documented cases of illness and problems. So I certainly don't want to be eating them. All that I know that we can do is to avoid the big ones, the foods that we know for sure that if you don't get them organic or specifically stating non-GMO will probably be GMO. So that would be corn, soy, cotton seeds, canola, some Hawaiian papaya, some yellow crookneck squash. Am I missing one?
I don't know.
Did I say corn?
You did say corn.
Okay.
I think you got the most common ones for sure.
So those we know for sure. And then I think also to take political action. I don't like the idea that Monsanto wants to rule the world. And certainly as a vegan, the idea that animal genes could be put in plant foods, I don't like it at all. And I think that you're wise to be concerned.
Also, when somebody says, well, have you ever known anybody to die of GMOs or to get sick from GMOs? I mean, what kind of question is that anyway? I think the answer is we don't know, because your body is just not going to come out and say, well, I'm sick and it's from a GMO. There are all kind of issues that people have. And how do you know something like, I don't know, some type of allergy or autism, or it could be anything. How do we know that's not caused ultimately by eating some type of GMO type food? So I think a question like that is, that doesn't make sense to me anyway. Great answer. They're creepy. Very creepy.
Mm-hmm. Creepy. That's a good.
I like that. Okay. Charlotte from Orlando, or is it Orlando from Charlotte? No, it's Charlotte from Orlando. Charlotte from Orlando asks, how can we get our kids to eat healthy without being critical of their weight or their appearance?
That is such a perfect question for me, Charlotte, because I was an overweight kid and my dad was a diet doctor and my mom worked in kind of the precursors to health clubs. They called them reducing salons, and you'd get in these belts and rollers and jostle yourself and supposedly your fat would fly off somewhere. So I know what it's like to be a kid who's criticized for stuff like that. And what it always made me want to do when somebody talked about my weight was go have another cookie. So it's very, very counterproductive. I think the best thing to do is celebrate healthy food, to make a big deal about, wow, it's Saturday morning, we're going to the farmer's market. And to really, when the first watermelon comes in the summer, the first strawberries in the spring, when pumpkins come out in the fall, they're not just for jack-o'-lanterns. You can actually make soup out of them, to just really make this fun and interesting, to go to orchards where you can do pick your own. I mean, you're down there in Florida, not so far probably from citrus orchards where you could pick some oranges and grapefruit off the tree. You may have some actually growing in your yard. So I think this kind of thing, also getting kids involved in cooking the food. There's a wonderful book from the American Vegan Society. It's called Apples, Bean Dip, Carrot Cake. And you can find it on Amazon. And it's a wonderful kids cookbook because everything is really easy, really healthy. And they photograph actual kids making the recipes. And whenever a child can make something healthy and present it to the family, they have stock in that. And it's very different from just being told, okay, we're going to eat this now. So good luck with that. And if I can mention all these veg fests, I will be at the Central Florida Veg Fest.
When will that be?
I think that one is early November. In Orlando. So
Central Florida,
probably
around Orlando, somewhere around
there. It's in Orlando, okay, for sure. You can just Google Central Florida Veg Fest.
So Charlotte,
2015.
Charlotte, go meet Victoria at the Central Florida. Lori, go meet her in the UK, in London. God, you're getting a lot of friends for you. Like you've got a ton already all over the planet, but we're getting even more for you. So great answers. I appreciate that. Before I say goodbye to you, Victoria, stay here for a second. Don't go anywhere. I want to thank you very much for being a listener. If you're watching the video version of this podcast, here we are in Victoria's apartment. Thank you very much for being a viewer. Make sure you check out my website, davidmaddow.com. That's DAVIDMADOW. A lot of stuff happening there. We have show notes for each episode. You can actually watch the podcast from there. Of course, you can subscribe through iTunes, get it on your smartphone. Also, we're hanging out on Facebook all the time, facebook.com/DavidMaddow. And Victoria was kind enough to give me a stack of these, of her latest books, The Good Karma Diet. Guess what? We're going to have some contests on my Facebook page. Stay tuned because you might win one of these for free. And if you don't get one for free, make sure you go to your local bookstore and pick one up. It's a great book. So, Victoria, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy person. I appreciate you inviting me into your apartment here to have these, do these podcasts. And let's make sure all of the listeners and all of our viewers know how to get in touch with you. If they're not going to be in Central Florida at a Veg Fest or the UK, how do they get in touch with you?
MainStreetVegan.net. And there you can find out about the Academy, all the books, my weekly radio show, podcast, the blog, and everything else that's going on at Main Street Vegan.
Victoria's got a lot of stuff going, so make sure you check out MainStreetVegan.net. It's .net, right?
It's
MainStreetVegan.net. Check her out.
Yeah, we want to catch everybody in a great big vegan net.
Oh, I love it.
Fully humane. Yes.
Well, this has been great. I appreciate the opportunity. This week, last week, I'm going to warn you that when Yoko and I come up again, because we're here in the city all the time, we might just do this again if you don't mind.
Fantastic.
This has been just super. So, but in the meantime, thanks, Victoria, and good luck with all your traveling, your book sales. You got so much. What do you call the things that you have right here locally? What do you call that again?
My academy,
the academy
classes. Yeah, to certify vegan lifestyle coaches and educators. It's an amazing week. Amazing things happen after people come to the academy.
She's got a lot going on. Check her out. Make sure you check her out, please. Until next time, though, I'm Dr. Dave, along with Victoria Moran here. Thank you so much for being a listener, a friend, a viewer, all that. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the David Maddow Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.